Well, I can't get this clipped. There we go.
Are you ready? All right. Well, it's good to see everyone that's here tonight. Appreciate your presence. We've got several visiting with us. Glad you're here. And in just a moment, Steve is going to lead us in a prayer to start us off. And I want to say something. It's one of those things I've thought about every week, I think, but I'm not sure I've ever actually said it. The focus of this month has not been on improving our public prayers. Every now and then I make a reference to something, but leading prayer and then praying to yourself are two very different things. But I also do believe that as we improve the men, if men improve on their prayers at home, it will make a difference in our public prayers. So, you know, I mean, there will be a benefit there. But throughout the class tonight, we're going to be having some prayers, and some different men have been asked to lead some specific things. And right now I'm going to ask Steve to come and lead us.
Holy Father, what a blessing it is to be able to bow before you this evening. To know that we are speaking to our Father, the one who loves us and cares for us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. Father, this evening we're so thankful for your word, that it has been preserved for us, that it has been translated into our language so that we can read it and study it, so that we can come to a greater knowledge of you and your ways. And we pray for a greater understanding of those things, of who you are and who your Son is and how you would have us to live. And Father, we pray for courage. We realize that as we study and learn that we're going to find things that are not in line with your word. And we pray for courage that you would help us to make the changes that we need to make, that we will be pleasing to you in all that we do. And we pray for wisdom that as we learn and understand, and as we make the changes that we need to make, that we will use those things in a way that we are a blessing to others, that we might know the best way to help them to see you and your Son and the things that you have done for them. And Father, we pray that you would increase our faith, that as we study, that we come to know you, that we will put more and more trust in you and less dependence on ourselves. That we will learn to put our hope in you, so that we can think about heaven and be secure in our faith and our hope. And Father, we pray that you'll be with us as we live out our lives, that we can do it in a way that will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Steve. And this is our fourth and final class, and I want to do just a few minutes of review on this, but I'm not going to take a lot of time on it. Oh, one thing I do want to make mention of, the little lectern as you go out the door, there are the printouts of the four PowerPoint slides for this, or the four presentations for all of them. If you want to disrupt class and get up and go get one right now, you can, but, or you can wait till it's over. Now seriously, if you prefer to have it now, you're welcome to do that, but they are available, all four of them, in the back. We started this off talking about Jesus, our great example, our great teacher. And one of the things that should have struck us about Jesus is how often he prayed. And in John the 17th chapter, we looked at that prayer. And one of the things that stood out to me in that was he prayed that God be glorified. He stated that he had glorified God. And then he requested, glorify me. It is right and proper that we seek God's blessings upon our lives, that we seek God to honor us as His children, as His heirs, if we first honor Him. And that's one of the things Jesus did in prayer. Oh, don't do that. Be humble and reverent, but approach Him as a father. Remember, we talked about the Old Testament rarely speaks of God as Father. They didn't pray to God as Father. But Jesus, when He taught the disciples to pray, He said, "You pray, our Father." And He repeatedly refers to God as Father. That's not the only thing God is called in the New Testament. And we do not want to become flippant, but He is a Father who cares. Jesus taught us to be persistent in prayer. He taught us it's right to pray for physical things, our daily bread. You know, God knows we need that. He made us with bellies. He made us with these kinds of needs. But He also created within us a greater need that we need to understand is far more important, the spiritual. With Paul, again, it just stood out to me, he prayed often. But when we looked at the prayers of Paul, and we didn't look at every single one of them, to me the thing that stood out, maybe more than anything else, was how much he was concerned about other people. His prayers so often were about others and not about self. Again, an emphasis on spiritual things. The emphasis, remember, on thanksgiving. How that he not only just says be thankful, all his prayers. The Corinthians, with all their problems, he talked about being thankful for that group of people. He learned to accept God's will, and we must too. And then as he prayed for others, he sought the prayers of others. I think there's a reflection of a humility in that, that Paul recognizes that they are, in a sense, his equals before God. That he needs them. He needs those prayers. Last week, we talked about supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks from 1 Timothy 2. And we broke those down. And I just want to, I thought one of the best parts of the class last week was when I was not saying anything and the men came up and led prayers that were focused. And this is, I may say this later on, and I may not say it later on, so I'm going to say it now. If I say it later on, that'll mean repetition for emphasis. Don't feel like in every prayer, you have to say everything that needs to be prayed for. I mean, we always do that for meals. You know, we don't have any hesitation about giving thanks for our food and nothing else. But sometimes I think we could be more effective, you know, just say in my intercessions for others, if that's, I prayed one prayer where that's all I worried about. You know, I just focus on that. Or my prayer of thanksgiving. Okay, at this point, I'm not going to pray about, you know, my job. I'm not going to pray about the sick. I just want to count my blessings in this prayer. And that's what, you know, we did in those three prayers last week. And I think that can be an effective help for us as we just sometimes pray one prayer that has a more narrow focus. Because I don't know about y'all, but I sometimes when I'm praying, and whether it's myself or I'm leading a prayer, my mind starts running ahead of my mouth, and I start getting so many different thoughts, and I end up not saying nearly half of what I wanted to say because I'm thinking about the sick, and whereas, and we'll talk about some other helps for that, but a focused prayer can help us with that. Chad, would you come up and lead us? Chad's going to lead us, I think, for the sick, right? A focused prayer here.
Let us bow. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent and mighty is your name in all the earth. We give you all praise and glory and honor for being our creator, for being our sustainer of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you give us. You bless us beyond all measure. Help us, Lord, to remember that all things come from you and that we need to never take these things for granted, but always be thankful. We thank you, Lord, for the measure of health that has allowed each of us to come out this evening to engage in this study. We know, Father, often that we take our health and our everyday physical blessings for granted. Help us, Lord, to realize that all these things come from you and that everybody does not get to enjoy these things. We pray, Father, for all the sick of the congregation. We've had so much sickness and flus and colds going around. We thank you, Lord, for those that have recovered and that for those that have been able to come back and be with us. We pray especially, Lord, for Jim Durham, for Marjorie Pepper, for Hewlett Lovell, for Laura Gibson, as they all are recovering from surgeries. We pray, Father, that you continue to be with their health and strength, that you would, that they would regain a measure of it so that they can go back to their normal everyday lives. We pray, Father, for Amos Barksdale, for Jennifer's granddad, Don Osborne, and for Exie Pepper. We pray, Father, that you would continue, Lord, to be with them, help them to recover to full strength. And as always, Lord, we pray for the shut-ins, the ones that aren't able to get out and be with us as much as they would like, for Bobby Abernathy, for George Harris, John's father, for Jane Ola Hinkle, for Dean Meadows, Gladys Sandlin. But Lord, there are those that are among us that are more aged, the elderly, Father. We thank you for the example that they are to us when they are able to be here, for the lives that they have lived, for the encouragement that they are when we do get to see them out and worship with them. Most of all, Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son and the sacrifice that he made for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chad. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, in verse 8, Paul says, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I want just for us to think a moment about something we probably, it should go without saying, but I'm convinced in our world, maybe not among us, I hope, but in our world it needs to be said. We have no right to listen to God or ask God to listen to us if we're not listening to God. You know, when we lift up hands in prayer, that, you know, Isaiah talks about God rejecting their worship because he said your hands are covered in blood. You know, in Isaiah the first chapter, there's God says, I don't want any more of your offerings, any of your sacrifices. Your hands are defiled. You're filled with wickedness. Prayer is powerful. But as he says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We've got to commit ourselves And I know we understand this, and yet people, you know, you can be watching, you know, sometimes I mostly watch sports shows. There'll be, you know, some, it'll be brought up some athlete, some famous person has cancer, and they'll say, you know, our prayers are with this person. And then in the next segment, they are talking about the most ungodly things, and it's just, but our prayer, you know, we've got to be listening to God, be listening to Him. And I think we understand that. We just need to be reminded sometimes. But then, this is one, we talked about it some, but I wanted to come back to it on this last night. When it comes to prayer, I guess, for lack of a better, I'm saying, be direct. You don't have to have some kind of special, flowery, eloquent, kind of artificial language of prayer. Now, you talk to God differently than you would talk to me, because you don't have to give me reverence. I'm not the Creator. I'm not the one with all authority. And yet, when you read the prayer of Jesus, you know, He just said, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your will be done, Your kingdom come. You know, I mean, it's simple. It's straightforward. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 7, you remember, He said regarding their prayer, He had warned them about being like the Pharisees who like to be seen of men. Then in verse 7, He said, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now, He's not talking about the Pharisees anymore. He's talking about the Gentiles. And He said, don't use vain repetitions as they do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, I don't know that anybody's ever thought it'll be because of my many words. And yet, I think sometimes there is this, well, in fact, I know men called on to lead a public prayer. They're so scared they won't use the right words. Well, you be reverent and respect. What are the right words? You speak to God and you tell Him what we're thankful for, what we want, what we're asking. That's what He's looking at. I mean, the prayers of Jesus are just so simple, so straightforward. Again, they're reverent. There's the utmost respect for God. I want to glorify You, John 17. Hallowed be Your name. And yet, it's not some artificial language. And along this line, and I have a little bit of, in my own mind, a little hesitation using the word relax, in that I want us to understand we are in the presence of God. But sometimes I think we, and again, public prayers are different. You don't want too long a pause in those. But when if I'm talking to you, you're talking to me, we're, you know, having a conversation, sometimes we pause. You know, we're thinking about something. You know, how do I want to say this? I think we get into prayer. And I don't know what to say next. Okay, in Jesus' name, amen, and we're finished. You know, because I didn't know what else to say. Boom. No. There's no rush on it. There shouldn't be. I mean, I know there are times, you know, we have to be somewhere, we got to do something. But when it comes to prayer, just slow down. Slow down and think about what you're doing. And don't, for the moment, ever think, somehow I've got to impress God. You know, if I could be my most eloquent, you think that would make a great impression on God? You know, I could just come up with the most flowery of language. What's that going to say to God? What God wants? is children who pour their heart out to Him. He wants disciples who love Him. He wants people who come to Him with a heart. And, you know, yeah, there are times, you know, we try to, you know, if you're in sales, you know, you've got to come up with just the right presentation. You know, you've got to really think those words out because you're trying to persuade somebody that may not like what, you know, they may be reluctant. Remember, this is our Father. He loves us. He wants to give to us. He wants to bless us. David, would you come and lead us in another prayer?
I'd like to make a couple of comments first. John's request was that I lead a prayer focusing on our leaders. And I stopped and asked, who are our leaders? I think the majority of the time when we hear that, we think of government officials, the president, the vice president, the mayor, the council. And that's good. We should. But, you know, I got to thinking, probably the most important leaders in our lives are in the home. Every parent will have an influence on their children that will last for years. The government officials, elected 4 years, 8 years maybe, probably in 10, 15 years, their influence is gone. If we have the influence that we should on our children, on our family, that influence will go for a lifetime. You know, not only in the home, but in the church, we might not be an elder, we might not be a deacon, but we can be leaders in the way that we work and participate. You know, as I look back in my work history, had a lot of different supervisors, some good, some bad, but usually a supervisor did not know all the ins and out of the job. What I would do is find a good worker, and guess who was my leader? Who taught me? We can be leaders, and that's what we should strive to be in everything that we do, is to be a leader pleasing to God. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for the privilege to approach Thee in prayer, to give thanks for our many blessings, to petition You for help in our weakness and shortcomings. We do pray for our leaders in government, that they will rule in a manner that is not contrary to Your word, will be an influence for good. Now, Father, help each of us to examine ourselves to see if we are the leaders that we should be. Go through life, help us to be the examples that we should be, and forgive us our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. That wasn't what I was expecting, but that was a good one. That was very good. And we all should be leaders. Well, in the next little bit, we're going to get down more probably what you're thinking about. You said practical. I hope what we've done is practical, but when it comes to prayer, that first point I made about we've got to listen to God. All of God's word is important as far as being the kind of people that God would listen to. But sometimes in the reading of Scripture, it really can help us prepare to pray. I want you to turn to Psalm 8 with me. I have found at times just taking a moment or two to read one psalm, to read a few psalms, is some of the best preparation for prayer that I could make. I want to read a few with you, and I just want you to be thinking about, if you read this before you pray, isn't this going to help you? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Now you read that, and you start to pray immediately after that. Where is your mind going to be? On the excellence of God. It's going to be on the majesty of the Creator. But it's also, you're going to be in a mindset of what a wonderful love that here we are. I look at the stars and I see myself as so insignificant. And yet God has made us but little lower than the angels. God has crowned us with glory and honor, given us dominion. You know, this passage just, it puts your mind in awe of God. It makes you appreciate God's love and His goodness to us. Look at the 18th Psalm. And some of these Psalms you recognize as much from the reading of the Psalm as you do some of the songs we sing. I'm not going to read the entire 18th Psalm, but a few verses. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. If you just read that and kept your Bible open and looked down at it as you began to pray and start thinking of God as your strength, your fortress, your deliverer, your shield, your stronghold, your deliverance. That's a wonderful way to start a prayer. Look at verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. You can't help but pray better if you read better. The 25th Psalm. And they're just, I mean, I could have picked out so many. But I tried to get a few that give a little bit different flavor. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from old. But do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Maybe you're going through one of those times when you're having one of those struggles of faith. And I think just about every Christian has a struggle of faith. Not faith that whether God exists, but you're having trouble making that faith a practical daily trust because maybe sometimes there are enemies that have risen up against you. There are those who are against you. There are those who would make you be ashamed. And you read something like this, and it helps you turn to God and say, God, you help me. Help me to learn your ways. This psalm reminds me, if I read it, I need to be seeking God's help in knowing Him. And he closes it out, do not remember the sins of my youth. According to your mercy, remember me. That there are a lot of things I want from God. A lot of things I pray for. I pray for things of a physical nature. You know, I pray for various things in this world. But the most important thing I can ever obtain from God is the forgiveness of my sins. That His mercy is with me. What a beautiful thought. Psalm 130. Look at this one. And then, this is my last one. And if you're at this point thinking, well, what about Psalm so-and-so? That's great. I hope there's some psalm you're thinking of. Well, I like that. There are so many. I just wanted to pick out a few. That if you've never done this, I know everybody's read from the Psalms. If you've never used the Psalms to prepare for prayer, I recommend it. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Now watch these next two verses. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. There are times I read psalms like that, as the psalmist is just so grateful for the mercy of God, the redemption of God. And I think he didn't even know the cross. He had not ever seen the greatest redemptive act of God. And he appreciated the mercy of God. I read that, and it ought to remind me of what a great God I have. What a wonderful mercy is found in Him. The Psalms are great. I also want to recommend, though, just general Bible reading. And I've said a little about this before, but I want to say a little bit more about it tonight. Maybe explain a little differently, and in a moment, I'm going to lead a prayer. If you do Bible reading, you will get much more out of it, and I've said this before. If you make a few notes on what you read each time, they don't have to be long. I like to get a little journal like this to keep mine in. And that way I can go back sometimes and look at them. If you are making notes just for understanding of the chapter, they're going to be different than what I'm talking about doing here. But what I have been doing lately is one page a day. And I go through the chapters I read, and I've pulled out just a few, not all of the chapters, but four chapters from the last 2 days. One of them's John 17. Just so happened it was one that we studied a few weeks ago about prayer. And what I do, and these are pretty much the way I wrote them in my journal. I'm not turning these into an English teacher. They're not going to be graded for whether they are complete sentences or whether they're fragments. And in fact, sometimes I handwrite it and I misspell a lot of words simply because I get too lazy to get the E on the end of the word. I know it's there. I just forget to write it as I'm moving on to the next word. But I just jot down little short thoughts. And then when I'm praying, I have this open. But like John 17, you know, one of the things that just I put down when I was reading is pray. Just that simple word. It's that reminder that Jesus prayed often. That he poured out his heart before God. But you remember, he says in verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. Verse 5, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. Verse 1, glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. I just wrote down, as you can see, glorify God. Ask God to glorify me. In this prayer, part of what he prayed, you know, verse 15 was keep them from the evil one. Pray for the spiritual protection of others. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth, your word. Truth, it matters. Verses 20 and 21, the prayer for unity. So the way I wrote it, I just put unity matters to the Lord. Another of my chapters that day was 2 Corinthians 7. Well, the first one's pretty easy. Cleanse yourself. That's what he says. And I'm not going to read all the chapter. I wish we had time for that. But in this chapter, Paul expresses his just great concern for the Corinthians. And I put that as a note. He's talking about his letter of correction. That sometimes we have to correct others. And then he speaks of what repentance involves in verse 11. Diligence and clearing and indignation and fear, and we have to change. And then I looked at Psalm 113. Those of you who are visiting and never, my Bible reading plan is, it's one called Professor Horner's. It's a hopscotch all over the place, but it has its purpose. Psalm 113, give God praise. That's just the first thing that just stands out in it. It talks about there is none like him. You know, verse 5, who is like the Lord our God? Something that stood out to me in this psalm, verse 7, he raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. God helps the downtrodden. And then finally, Psalm 1. Now, keep in mind, if I were doing this for myself, in my reading, there are 10 of these chapters. If you're following that 5-day plan that, you know, we've made available to the church, each day is somewhere around 4 or 5 chapters, similar to this. You can do something like this. But in Isaiah 1, you remember the famous verse 3, the ox knows its master and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider. They don't understand who blesses them. I put it, don't forget the source of your blessing. There's a long section of where he says, worship without obedience from the heart is worthless. He calls on them to repent. He says, be kind to others. You know, in verse 17, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. And of course, one of the best known parts of Isaiah 1 is, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God will cleanse. I want us to pray together. And I'm going to use these thoughts. It's a genuine prayer, but I hope it also will help give you an idea of how you can use your Bible reading. You don't have to read the same plan I read. You know, if you read one chapter a day and you do something like this, it causes you, it causes me to think the thoughts of God. You know, God's thoughts and my thoughts are so very different. But the more time I spend with His Word and I think about it, I realize these are the things important to God. It also, by doing it on a regular basis and taking different chapters, it breaks the routine of getting into ritualistic. I say the same prayer every time. So, pray with me. Our God, our great Father, we praise You, dear Lord, for truly there is none like You. You are the only God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Giver of life. And we pray that in our lives, Father, we can glorify You, for You are worthy of glory and praise. Help us to use our lips to praise You. Help us use our lives that they would glorify You in everything. And Father, as we seek to glorify You, we pray that as Your children, You would bless us, that You would bless us with that inheritance above, that we can be glorified with You one day, that we can enjoy the wonders of an eternity with You. Father, we pray that You would lead us not into temptation, that You would guard us. We pray for our families. We pray for our fellow saints. The evil one is there. He is wicked. He is powerful. But we pray Your protection for them. Help us, dear Lord, never to forget how much truth matters. We know You love us, but we also know, dear Father, You expect us to be obedient. Help us know Your truth. Help us to know it, apply it to our lives. Help us teach it to others. Help us, Father, to be better about carrying Your truth to this world that's rejected it. And we pray that we can be the united people that Jesus prayed for. Help us, Father, to love one another, to esteem others better than ourselves, to be able to be united one with another as You have taught us. Help us, Father, to look honestly into our lives and to cleanse ourselves from any filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Help us, Father, to be honest and let Your word probe every corner of our lives. Help us be right with You. And help us get past any selfishness that we might care about others. That we would truly love our neighbor as ourselves. Help us, Father, to love them enough that when they're wrong, we would correct them. That we would rebuke when necessary, but dear God, help us never, ever do this in a spirit of arrogance, of self-righteousness. Help us to do it because we do care about other people, that we do love them. Help us, Father, to understand how serious sin is, what it means to transgress Your law. Help us have that godly sorrow that would move us to true change, that would cause us, Father, to truly be the people You want us to be. Father, we read of how You lift up the lowly. And first and foremost, we're thankful that You have lifted us up, that You have taken sinners and made them Your children. How wonderful Your gospel is. But Father, help us have that same spirit. Help us as Your children to be like You, our Father, in caring about the downtrodden, the weak. Help us do good to them. Father, you are the source of all our blessings. The physical things we have, the material things we enjoy, ultimately come from your hand. But even more, Father, you have blessed us spiritually. Help us not be like, you know, someone that would forget where it all comes from. Help us, Father, to give you our hearts. We know you want worship, but you only want it from those who give it from the heart. Help us to love you. Help us to be holy in our conduct, to be kind to others. And Father, we are so grateful that those sins that were like scarlet have been cleansed. Oh Father, how good you are to us. We love you. We love you because you've loved us. And help us grow in that love. Thank you, dear God, for all you have done. In Jesus we pray this, and amen. I want to say about everything I do here as far as the practicality. Obviously, the Word, when we read from the Scripture, that's from God. When it comes to the kind of practical observations I make, I would give credit where credit was due if I could remember where I get it. But, you know, there may be an idea here or there in that I've thought of on my own that's worked for me. But more times than not, I've picked it up from somebody. And sometimes I modify it to fit me. In the same way with you. Take what I've suggested. Now, I've got another one or two I want to real quickly mention, but we can't tamper with the Word of God. But when it comes to the practicalities and the suggestions, those you make fit your life. I don't think I've got it anywhere on a slide, but when possible, pray aloud. There are times you have no choice but to pray to yourself. Pray silently. But praying aloud will make all the difference in the world. And as I heard Sewell Hall say one time about that, he said, if you feel kind of foolish talking to yourself, then you've got a bigger problem than, you know, anything else. You're not talking to yourself when you're praying aloud. Remember that. Oh, I forgot. Somebody should have told me I didn't put Isaiah 1 up there. Okay. A prayer list. I like the fact, I sometimes see the men coming up to lead a prayer, you know, here, and they'll have a bulletin, they'll have a list from the group meeting, or they've made their own list. I like that. I mean, I try to close my eyes in prayer most of the time, except if I happen to pray when I'm driving. I keep them open most of the time for that. But I have no hesitation at all about laying this open before me, the notes I've made, the prayer list that I'll talk about in a second, and reminding myself. But unless you've got that perfect memory and that perfect focus, make a list. Make a list of the sick, the hurting, the grieving. Have that list before you, because I mean, I know it's okay to pray sometimes, be with the sick. But when you know who the sick are, pray with specificity there. You know, we've got group sheets that we give out. We've got the website's got information. You know, we do. Somebody visiting from other churches, you've got similar things. Put the men we support on your list. You know, make a list of things. Oh, put me and the elders. Y'all know we need it, your prayers. Make a list of the things for which you want to give thanks. Make the list as long as you need it to be. And what we've done tonight, what we did last week, is we called on some men to pray, and they didn't cover everything on the great big list. I think one of the things that will help your prayers the most, I had this up there. Remember, you want to have at times supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, and you want to keep it updated. That's why my personal prayer list is on my iPad. I've got a electronic, so I can add to it. Somebody gets well from the sick, I can take them off of it. If I get mad at somebody, I take them off my list. No, don't do that. But it's easier for me to update versus I've got things marked through and written in the margins. But a suggestion, and this is one of those, you do have what works best for you. But if you make a list, it becomes a pretty lengthy list of all the sick. And you know people outside the congregation. And you've got family concerns that you're going to pray about. And you know about people who've lost loved ones. And you're praying for the rulers of this land. And you're praying for the things with the church, and it gets on and on. Sometimes you will pray better if you don't feel quite so overwhelmed and you say, okay, at this prayer, we're not going to talk about the sick right now, but we're going to work on this part of the list. And we're going to do, the other in a different prayer. You want to pray all of these things. But it would help us sometimes. I know it would help me to do more of this. Say, okay, right now this is going to be a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm not going to rush through my, Lord, I'm thankful for, and name is, a few things, because I got to pray for the sick. And I need to pray about my sermon for Sunday. And I believe I would do better about giving thanks, really being thankful, thinking it through. If that's what I just decided, I'm going to focus on for that one time. Something I wanted to mention to you. The class, y'all have all heard the saying, the teacher always learns more than the students. And sometimes you're in one of my classes, you're going, well, I hope so. I hope he got something more out of it than I did. But when it comes to this, I know if I will persist in the things I've thought about, been made to, some of it I have learned. Some of it has just been, it's like putting it all together. It's made me more aware. It will benefit me greatly. And one of the things, and I don't remember, somewhere in our talking, I started thinking about, maybe it was in that, how did Jesus pray all night? Paul was praying for all these people. And I determined I'm going to start praying the directory. That's what I'm calling it. It's pretty, our trifold directory, you got four columns. And what I'm doing, because I know what, if I try to do all the directory at one time, about a third of the way through it, I start, it just sort of gets to be shorthand. Yeah, bless those folks too, kind of. I'm tired. I take one page, one column, and I'm trying to do this. It's one of my resolutions, and I don't mind if you come up and ask me in a few weeks, are you still doing that? Because I want to keep doing it, and I might need a reminder. But at least once every week, I want to pray through this. And I go down, starts with Bobby and Carol Abernathy. It's easy to know what, there's a bad situation. And one of the things is you go down through this, and I'm not going to get into, and some of you from other churches, you know your people. There are things that you maybe know going on in their lives that we're just not comfortable bringing them out in a public prayer. but you know about that situation and pray it. And so, you know, once each week, just go down Abernathy to Gibson, the next week Grimmy to Leverett. You know, just work, you know, the next day. And there are actually five columns if you add the elders, deacons, and evangelists. You know, you might want to have us as bad as our needs are on the general list that you pray every day. But pray the directory. I think it'll help you. And I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm bad about that. I hesitate and then I do it. Prayer is intended to be a communication to God. But I also believe that God uses prayer to shape our character. And when I pray the directory, it makes me think more about everybody. And sometimes it makes me in a bad way think about somebody. You know, I need to check on that person. I haven't done something for them. It will help you in those ways too. In just a moment, I'm going to have some concluding remarks and we will close. But before that, I'm going to ask Ron to come and lead us in one more prayer.
Bow with me, please. Almighty God, blessed is your name. How great you are, the creator of this earth, the very sustainer of life, a heavenly Father of mercy and grace. We praise your high and holy name. We come to you, Lord, at this time in particular, on behalf of our young people, our children. We recognize, dear Lord, that they are a blessing. And what a precious gift they are. We are thankful, dear Lord, for all the good that we enjoy, but we are especially thankful for our children and for our families. We are thankful, dear Lord, for the Bible class teachers that we have here. Those that do have an influence on our children. We're thankful for their ability to teach, and may they always recognize what a serious task it is. We're thankful for our elders. And we'd ask that you would be with them as throughout the year they look into what is taught here, that they would have wisdom in the things that are taught, and that in our children and in our young people, we would see the fruit of our Bible classes. That as they grow, we would see them grow in the knowledge of your word. We are thankful for Brother John and Brother Chad, for the young people's class. And what a joy it is for us to see these young people as they learn from your word. And may they always remember the lessons that are taught from your word and stay loyal to it as they grow older. Raising children, dear Lord, is a blessing. It's a privilege. It's an awesome responsibility. We'd ask that you be with us as parents, that we would raise children that are rooted and grounded in a love for your word, and that they might see that through the kind of life that we live before them, that we would love your word, that we would be steadfast and faithful in all that we say and what we do, that we would lead the proper example before them. We are thankful for grandparents, those that have been faithful to you, those that have been able to give wisdom down throughout the ages to the younger children and to the young people. We realize also, dear Lord, that We live in a world that is contrary to what your Bible and what your word teaches. That as our children grow older, they will face temptation. They will face many difficult times here upon this earth. We trust your Lord that as we raise our children, they will develop a faith that is rooted in your word, that they will see the importance of spiritual things, and that they will choose the spiritual over this world, that they will choose to serve Jesus, to love Jesus, and to grow in the grace and knowledge of your word. And when difficult times come, we ask that you would help to guide and guard and direct their steps, that you would be with them as they make decisions, that the decisions they make, whether it be where they work, one whom one day they may choose to marry, where they live, and ultimately to obey the gospel, that they would make the decision that is in harmony with thy will. And that as our children grow up in your word, dear Lord, and as they become young people, they themselves would raise families, they would be servants in your kingdom and raise families that would serve you and have children that likewise would be a heritage to your kingdom. We ask, dear Lord, that you be with all of us, that we would always recognize that it is all or nothing with you, and that the most important thing here upon earth is that we live a life that is prepared to live with you forever and eternity, and that heaven be our ultimate goal. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. Well, we're at the end, and I hope that we've learned some things about prayer. I think of all the classes I've ever taught, and I mean, I've taught Revelation before. Well, I presided over Revelation one time. I've taught some things where I didn't feel like I was adequate for the job. This has been probably in many ways the most humbling because, you know, it's just such an awesome thing to think about. Access to God. We've had 4 one-hour classes, and there's so much more we could say. But I hope it'll help us apply these things. You know, continue to grow in our prayer. And last pointer in my conclusion is set you a time for prayer. If you don't have a set time for prayer, it's so easy for it to get pushed aside. Although, let me say this, if you set a time and then you miss that time, don't decide you're a failure. Reset the clock. Find another time. Paul said, pray without ceasing. And I hope we do that. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate your presence in this.